Good morning, church. I always believe that every Sabbath is a good Sabbath.
Amen.
Praise God for that. I want to thank you for inviting my family to come here and worship with you today. Maybe just a little background. We are members of the Tyler Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I'm one of the serving elders. We have 8 elders. And one of our associate pastors is going back to school, and we'll be having a new replacement pastor. We're quite a very busy church, active, and we've lived in Tyler for, I would say, 16 years now. But we've lived in the U.S. as a family for almost 20 years. We originally came from Zambia. Zambia is Southern Africa. Has anyone of you been to Africa? Ah, which part?
South Africa.
Ah.
South Africa, North Africa.
Wow. I see. We are close to South Africa, so it could be considered a driving distance because people go by bus there from Zambia. We came originally to school, and we have a family. Our son was supposed to come with us, but he's not really feeling well. He's 21 years old and studying to be a pastor at Southwestern Adventist University. Our daughter is also at SWAU. She's 19. She's doing her pre-meds. She's right now in Oklahoma. She was invited with other SWAU students to go and sing at a camp meeting. So that's how we find ourselves here. I'm an accountant by profession. My wife is a nurse. And we also were blessed by God to have been led to study a school. So we are running a private school in Tyler. And that's pretty much, I would say, so that you get to know us. And but one thing I know is that Seventh-day Adventists have common teachings and beliefs. And I very much believe in the Bible, in the writings of Ellen White. And so today when I speak, those will be the sources of the message today. Before I do that, may I just invite us into prayer. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for the Sabbath day and for the opportunity, Lord, to be here to worship you. We ask that, Lord, may your word be spoken here. And that, Lord, in all things, we shall be thankful for your goodness and your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title, as you have seen in the bulletin, is Belonging to God. And what does that mean, to belong to God? And what does it take for us to know and trust that someone belongs to God? So let me just lay down a foundation for today's message, because I believe that if we don't embrace these fundamental biblical principles and teachings, it becomes very difficult to believe that God can work in us, that God loves us, and that God wants us to be saved, and that he's preparing a home for us, and ultimately that we belong to him. It would be very difficult. So come with me. I'll be using the New King James Version. Come to Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Genesis 1, 27, 28, the Bible says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them." Now, 28 is of interest to me because it says, then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on earth. So when the Bible says God blessed them, it means that God gave them everything. What I mean by this is that in order for them to have been happy here on earth, it means they had God as their source of everything. He made all things and the environment in which they lived. That is Adam and Eve. And this is where we live too. Then Psalm 139 verse 13. The Bible there says, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. So, besides God having stooped, molded soil or dirt to form man, creation continues. The Bible here says that he formed me in my mother's womb. And when you read further, 13, 14, 15, 16, those verses in the same chapter, 139, you find that psalmist says, for I was fearfully and wonderfully made. So God is our maker. He designed us in his own likeness, not only in appearance, but in character as well. He breathed his life into us so that we can be living souls. Jeremiah 10:23, this was the scripture that was read. And he says, oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We may think we actually are in charge and control of our lives. But boy, if the Lord withdrew his guidance from us, how chaotic we would be. How this world would be unmanageable. And when we talk about walking, what I mean is, this is a lifestyle. This is according to the way of the Lord. Jesus Christ himself says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So when we put all this together, then we will realize that on our own, we can't do anything good. We can't even manage our own lives. We depend on God for all the good things that come our way. There are many things that we may not realize that the Lord does for us, and we'll never know. We'll never understand. But these are all provisions out of the love of God. So if we do not believe these principles, it becomes very difficult, therefore, to be submissive to God, to be obedient, and even to have faith in him. I want to believe that if we don't believe these principles, I would encourage that we be open-minded and embrace them, because this is true. This is true. Let me talk about three individuals in the Bible that illustrate this point of belonging to God and what we can be when we have yielded our lives and given ourselves to God for guidance. Genesis chapter 2, there's a story here of Adam. 19 and 20 verses. The Bible says, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. This is very interesting here. So God does the creation. But then he brings everything he has created, every living thing, to Adam. The Bible here says so that God wanted to see what Adam would call them. I want us to pay attention to this language here, to see. To see is not just to open the eyes. Our seeing is beyond that. You may recall that John the Baptist was taken into Patmos. The eyes were popped. He couldn't see. But God showed him visions of heaven. That's the seeing I'm talking about. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, the Bible there says that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So, God here is saying to Adam, I have created you in my image. And God wants to see what he has created, not that what he created wasn't perfect, but he's rolling out Adam and Eve's abilities to do that which God himself has inscribed in the natures that he created. Listen to what Ellen White writes in the book Counsels to Parents, Teachers, and Students. This is page 186, paragraph 1, and I quote, "The whole natural world is designed to be an interpreter of the things of God. To Adam and Eve in their Eden home, nature was full of the knowledge of God, teeming with divine instruction. To their attentive ears, it was vocal to the voice of wisdom. Wisdom spoke to the eye and was received into the heart, for they communed with God in his created works." End of quotation. So here, Adam was actually communing with God through what God had created. So there, having this communion, and Adam is able to see the instructions that God had written in his creation, and Adam is able to see it and read it. It's amazing that the Bible tells us to learn from the ants, how they prepare for seasons. How do they know that? Because they are able to tell and see the instructions that are written by God himself. Isn't it a wonder that us as human beings, we are failing to do that? You know, it's a wonder to see that we think the world is getting better. We think things are now at their best. This is the highest quality of life and the best things we've ever had since the history of the world. Things are getting worse. I pity for the young ones that are coming now. There's just too many voices out there. There's just so much pressure that's wooing the young people into the world, and things seem to be very entertaining, and that's what is acceptable. But if we go back to communing with God, we'll see things in the right way, the way God created them. And then we will know that we do not belong here on earth. Our home is being prepared for us. That's what it means to belong to God. It's to have this communion with God and to have an understanding of the true nature of things as they are, so that we can live according to the word of God. If there was a time that we needed to live by the word of God, it is now, more than ever before. That's Adam. He was having this communion with God. Let me talk about the next person. Don't forget what we've just discussed here. In Genesis 39, verses 1 to 6, we find a story of Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brothers. You know that very famous story. He was put in the ditch, taken out of the ditch, sold. And the Bible records in Genesis 39, verse 1 up to 6, and the Bible says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian." Look at these details. I mean, we get to understand that this is simply saying that Joseph has been taken away from his home, from his country. He's now no longer free. He's been sold as a commodity. And he now no longer has the freedom choice that he would have had he stayed in his home country and with his parents. So Potiphar bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. This is very important. And the Bible says, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3 says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of the house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. The Bible tells us that God was with him. So when you read Ellen White's writings, it actually amplifies a little bit that as Joseph was being transported to Egypt, he remembered the God of his father. And that's very important. And it was at this time that he actually thought of all the lessons he had at home. He remembered who their God was and the God that he worshipped. It's very important for young people to know that the lessons that you hear at home, at church, in your interactions in life, they are not meant to be just tales to be listened to. These are principles of life that you're going to use when you grow up and you be independent. You, at one point, have to make serious decisions. And my wife and I used to wonder, as we were raising our children, whether they really took in the lessons. It's difficult at times to think that they actually do. One good thing is they do. That's why the Bible tells us to train up our children in the way they should grow, because it works. And it worked for Joseph. This is in the Bible, and I believe in the Word of God. So Joseph is transported and taken, and now he's a slave and is working in a house. What is so amazing here, saints, is that what caused Joseph to succeed was not because of his capabilities, was not because of his talents. That was not. The Bible just told us here that Joseph was blessed by God. And it's not only him who knew that he was blessed. It was evident because Potiphar saw that. Remember, I'm talking about seeing the previous story. Potiphar here is able to see. He saw that the Lord was with him. Verse 3 says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. What an observation here by an Egyptian who doesn't know this God. But he witnessed a person who lived it. A person who actually manifested the presence of God in himself. And this is what we are called to be as children who belong to God. That our lives will be a message itself. That our lives will manifest God, and that whatever we touch will be seen to be blessed and successful. You know, when the Bible talks about us not being tails but heads, it is true. It is very true. If we are to be the salt of the world, the light of the world, we need God. Because God himself is the only one who can actually make us be like him. Live lives that are meaningful. Christ Object Lesson, page 146, paragraph 4 says, you need not go to the ends of the earth for wisdom, for God is near. It is not the capabilities you now possess or ever will have that will give you success. It is that which the Lord can do for you. We need to have far less confidence in what man can do and far more confidence in what God can do for every believing soul. He longs to have you reach after him by faith. He longs to have you expect great things from him. He longs to give you understanding in temporal as well as in spiritual matters. He can sharpen the intellect. He can give tact and skill. Put your talents into the work. Ask God for wisdom, and it will be given you. End of quotation. What an amazing thing that we are seeing in a person who belongs to God. That, you know, when I think of Joseph as a little boy, I think he's one boy that probably didn't do much work at home. You know, I'm the last born in the family. I know how my parents didn't want me to do a lot of other things that my older siblings did. There were certain favors that I received. And those things can actually make you be entitled. And therefore, you may not develop the skills that the firstborn has or the middle child because you are spoiled. But guess what? God can equip you with special skills that you cannot acquire in any other way. The intellect and the tact. The thinking process. I can imagine Joseph growing in a very short period of time, a growth that would have taken years. But he's being trained by God himself. I have no doubt that God can train us in a very short period of time to do things that are successful. What I was reading here is that if we ask God for big things, if we ask God for things that really are in accordance to his will, he would do, and he expects us to ask. Claim a city. Claim a neighborhood. Claim your family. claim young people or anybody you know that doesn't know the Lord and watch and see what God will do. Amen. It's very possible. And God used a young man to prove to a man who was not a Christian, an Egyptian for that man, to know that there's a God who can bring success and blessings. That's what it entails, to belong to God. The last story I want to tell you is about Moses. We know Moses was raised by the Egyptian. The Egyptian country was pretty much his home for 40 years. That's quite a long period of time. And he was trained. He had special people that trained him in the culture of the Egyptians, military, of religion, and name it. So really, he was Egyptian in the mind. But you remember the first few years of his life. He was trained by his mother. He was introduced to the true God. And he knew that he was going to be deliverer. That's why he tried to do it according to his power. But it didn't work. He was even rejected by the Israelites themselves because they said, "Who are you to be our ruler, to be our counselor, to be somebody who should come and try to save us? Who are you?" And he ran away. We know he went to live in Midian. There, he spent another 40 years. What's so amazing about that is that he's a shepherd. You know, there's something about shepherds. To be a shepherd, you have to be selfless. So there are so many things he had to unlearn. I grew up in a tribe of farmers. We normally keep a lot of cattle, animals. And we grew up as young boys. We would go and take care of them. We thought for them. We planned where to take them. You tend to learn these things. When you think of David, you think of Moses. These are people that would be away from home with animals and no one to talk to. But always watching, seeing where danger would be coming from, thinking for where to find the clean waters, thinking about them where they'll be safe, where the good pastures are. All these are characteristics that a normal human being needs to have, because it takes away selfishness. And there he is, when time came, and I want to call it a graduation day, the Lord appeared to him, and he saw a burning bush. It's burning, but not being consumed. And he said, "Let me see this thing." And God, when he saw that he caught his attention, spoke to him. "Moses, have an assignment for you. I want you to go back to Egypt to go and lead the children of Israel. I have heard their cry." What a call. And sometimes I wonder that how many of us hear calls from God that have an assignment for you. I told you earlier that we were invited by God to run a Christian school. I'm an accountant. I've worked in the corporate world for so many years. My wife is a nurse, as I mentioned. But a call to run a school? We are like, is this real? How do we do it? I was so ambitious, actually. I mean, in school I was an A student. I mean, everything. I wanted to be in the corporate world, make lots of money and live comfortably. And I understand issues of money. That's what I did every day. Running a school. How do we do it? And this is in 2020, in the midst of COVID. People are shut down in their homes. Well, this does not make sense. Have you ever had a call and it doesn't make sense to you? The solution and the best thing to do is go into the Word of God. You know the best way to find an answer? Is to go to the Word of God. Prayerfully study God. Seek Him. Get to know Him. That's the only way He will talk to you. I have no doubt when Moses was invited that at that point he had learned the qualities that he needed to be under the guidance of God. Listen carefully to God. He will lead you. So let's go forward a little bit. The story I want to tell you is after they crossed the Red Sea, right? They celebrated. And we like to discuss in our home that every time there is this huge achievement and you praise God, be careful. Because that's when the devil comes to pounce. Remember the story of Elijah? This story of the Israelites is not different. The story of Jesus is not different. He was just baptized and the voice of God was heard. He was led into the wilderness. Watch out when you have reached the peak, because normally there is a test coming. So the children of Israel now are being led, and for 3 days they walked into the wilderness. Genesis 15, 22, the Bible there records. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Here is water, but you can't drink it. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, and the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. I want us to listen to this very carefully. The Lord showed him a tree. We're talking about seeing here, right? When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statue and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord," this is Moses, "your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to the commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." That's God himself speaking there. Now let's unravel this a little bit. There are some things here that have not really been discussed in the Bible that I want to bring out. Okay. They are in the wilderness. You know, Moses knew the shortcut actually to Israel, the promised land. But Moses was told to follow the pillar of fire in the cloud during the day. Those were the instructions that he had, and he shared these instructions to the Israelites. And that's how they were moving. It's just like the way we do, we go to places we don't know, we use the GPS, we trust it so much. That's their GPS. And so when they were led into the wilderness, Moses was actually in a very familiar place where he took care of the animals. He had been to this place before. And he knew the water was bitter. And he knew the people needed water. But the cloud was leading them there. What am I getting at? You know that when God has called you, and the calling I'm talking about is as a result of what the Holy Spirit and the Word of God has come to mean to you. Sometimes from our point of view, in fact a lot of times, these things don't make sense. Like I was telling you about the school. That's a huge undertaking. The people are thirsty. And you are leading us to the very place where there is bitter water. God, what are you doing? It's like you are sitting there watching a wreck to happen in front of you. In fact, there was a time when we were driving and we were waiting at the traffic lights in Tyler. And I watched an accident happen right in front of me. This person was coming from the right and the other one from the left. And the one coming from our left was supposed to yield. But the person thought that it could beat the turn before the one who had the right of way reached that point and head-on collision. And I was a witness. Watched it. I'm sure Moses was watching this whole thing, knowing that it's leading to a place where we will not find the water. And knowing the children of Israel, he already experienced with them when they were approaching the Red Sea how difficult they could be. They were already thinking of going back. Listen to what Ellen White writes in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 291, paragraph 2. Moses, who was familiar with this region, knew what the others did not. That at Marah, the nearest station where springs were to be found, the water was unfit for use. With intense anxiety, he watched the guiding cloud. With a sinking heart, he heard the glad shout, "Water! Water!" echoing along the line. Men, women, and children in joyous haste crowded to the fountain. When lo, a cry of anguish burst forth from the host, the water was bitter. The Bible told us that Moses did what the others did not do. He went to God. You know, this life that we have as we know it is headed to a head-on collision, accident. Where the world is being told of hope, of good things coming. I mean, when I listen to these politicians talking, it breaks my heart that these people are leading us into the wrong direction. When I hear some churches and speakers talk about Jerusalem and many things, my heart is troubled because us as Seventh-day Adventists, there's something we know that they don't. What are we doing with that information? What are we doing with that light? Are we going to go by the public demand? Because in the end, it tells us there will be people with itching ears and they want to hear what they want to hear. Are we going to go that way? Or we will go by the word of God. Moses went by the pillar, even when he was in a familiar place. There are so many things we think we can manage and run, including finances, our health and all those things. But those things will come to a point where they'll fail. What are we going to do? There's something that Moses did that others didn't do. He went to God. This is the greatest lesson we can pick here. We go to God. Get to know him. And you know, in our prayers and discussions with God, let's not just talk about these daily simple things that, oh, I need food, I need a house, I need money. Those things are perishables, really. Let's try to get to know God, to have a relationship with him, that we belong to him, and all these other things will be given unto us. That's the primary goal to go to God for, is to have a fellowship, a relationship with Him, to be reconciled with Him, to become one with Him, so that our thinking will be like that of Adam, to know and read situations correctly, and understanding the times and redeeming them. For we are living in the final days, where we shall only be guided by the Word of God. Ever thought about why we are losing so many young people in our church? There's that age group which is missing in the church. Where are they? Have we really helped them settle down? These are some of the challenges we are faced with. Our church is blessed. We have every age group. But still we have this problem with a certain age when they just finish high school somewhere there. Where do they go? A time comes for them to be like Joseph, where they need to realize the God of their fathers. If we don't do that, it will be difficult for them to walk with God as Moses did, as we get to the end of time when things will collide, when we shall need the guidance of the Word of God. Do you know that the tree was already there when Moses had earlier visited the place when he was a shepherd? Because the Bible told us that God showed him the tree. Do not worry about the things that we are faced with now, because help is right there. God is already there. He already has a solution to the things that trouble us and perplex us. I know. I worry and have things that sometimes consume my mind. But the solution is right there close by. Don't forget that. God will show us a way. He'll provide in the time of need. Not only was the water made drinkable, but it was sweet. That takes me now to heaven, when the Bible tells us that from the throne of God flows a river. That river, and on each side of it is a tree of life. You visualize this as I was reading the story of Moses. And the Bible tells us that we shall eat of that tree of life. And the leaves of the tree of life shall be the healing of the nations. I long to be in that home. I long to be in that place as a child of God, belonging to God, where there'll be no more suffering, no pain, nothing to perplex us. The Bible tells us God Himself shall wipe away the tears from our faces. I long to have a touch of God in my life. I long to go and drink of that water of life, of the tree whose fruit shall be fresh every month. I long to be in the audience of God. Amen. Where there will be no pain, no suffering, no shame. For we shall be like Jesus Christ Himself. And we shall sit with Him on the throne. What a God we have. And nothing should shake us from believing and trusting Him. This is the time that we need to stock up the Word of God as a light to guide us. No matter what we hear or see or feel, the Word of God should be our guiding principle. And then we shall truly belong to God. Happy Sabbath, and God be with you. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, dear Father, may You plant our feet on a higher ground, on the solid rock, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that, Lord, we may walk with You all the way unto salvation. May You be with us the rest of this day, and help us, Lord, to find gladness and joy in keeping Thy day holy. May we enjoy the fellowship of one another until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.